The death of Jesus Christ was the most important event in human history up until that time. And it was equaled only by his resurrection 3 days later. It was also unique. Even though millions had died before him and since him, his death was unique and special. Think of it like a beautiful diamond with different facets. Turn it one way and you see his death reveals the love of God far above everything else. The Bible says this is love, that he laid down his life for us. Turn it again, you find that he died in our place to display this love of God. The Bible also says God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Also, you turn it again, you find that he didn't die as a martyr, but as a savior. He took our sins, and therefore he took our punishment. Bible says he became a curse for us. He was punished in our place. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. Bible says he redeemed us. Bible says at the cross he defeated the devil. Many other beautiful truths. Tonight we also look at some of the accompanying phenomena that happened on that Good Friday. And think of those as road signs pointing to the significance of Jesus dying for us. On that Good Friday, there were witnesses, Jews, Romans, perhaps some Greeks. They saw and heard these four phenomena, but only one or two really understood them. Do you understand them? We're going to look at four of them tonight. They're all mysterious, but as we look at those, remember they're pointing to Jesus, and they capture the mood of what was happening on that day. They're all taken from the section that was read earlier in Matthew 27. We're told here in verse 45 that after Jesus had been on trial, carried his cross out there on this death march, and they drove nails in his hands and his feet. They whipped him. They crucified him. He was executed. It says here on the third hour. Now the Jews measured time by sunup and sundown. So sunup would be at 6 in the morning. The third hour then would be at 9 o'clock. That's when Jesus was crucified. And then at the sixth hour, that is at noon, something very unusual happened. It says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. Sundown at high noon. Midnight at midday. Why? And it says here for 3 hours, what was happening? Some say, well, this was an eclipse of the sun. No, for two reasons. Number one, an eclipse of the sun doesn't last for 3 hours. We witnessed one just in the last couple of years. It just came and went within a short period of time. Also, if you know anything about astronomy, you cannot have an eclipse of the sun during a full moon. This was at the day of Passover, which is always at a full moon. The Jews are celebrating Passover tomorrow. There is a full moon tonight. So it wasn't an eclipse. It was a miracle. It wasn't any other natural phenomenon people have suggested, like, well, heavy clouds came in or the dust arose because of the wind. No, nothing like that. It's like people trying to guess what was the star that appeared when Jesus was born. They're looking for natural explanations for something that was supernatural. So when this happened, people weren't prepared for that. And so it was darkness. They didn't bring torches and lanterns because they knew this would be in the middle of the day. And so in the darkness, people were scared. They couldn't understand it. Children would begin to cry. And the mothers perhaps would scream and take the children home. Grown men would be afraid. Perhaps the Roman soldiers wondered, what is happening? This is an omen. Animals would begin to bark, howl, and run, because I remember I saw a eclipse of the sun many years ago on a ranch in Texas, and the animals, they woke up or they started running, and they couldn't explain it. So on this occasion, everybody was caught off guard, and it was unexpected, and they couldn't understand. It says here, over all the land. And that wouldn't be just the land of Israel, but over the whole earth, like the flood in Noah's day covered the whole earth. We have discovered records from ancient Rome and China that say that back then, approximately this time, according to their calendars, they said something happened that we could never explain. And they always said it was some bad omen from a god or a goddess or something. They couldn't explain it. The Bible here explains it. And notice that this is very unusual. It was the converse of what happened when Jesus was born. Jesus was born at night, and God sent a spiritual, supernatural light, the star, in the darkness. Here, it's the middle of the day when there's normally light. God put out the light and sent darkness. We find precedents in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says the earth was without form and void, kind of like a shapeless piece of clay. And it says darkness covered the whole earth. The sun hadn't been created yet. And that was the beginning of something new. And so we see in Genesis 1 and Matthew 27, this darkness is like signifying God's doing something new. And something new is about to break forth. Kind of like a baby in the womb is covered by darkness awaiting its birth. Jesus, as it were, was bringing something new into creation. If you know your Bible, back in the book of Exodus, God sent Moses to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And since they didn't want to let him go, God sent these plagues. And one of them was darkness over the whole land for 3 days. Here it was for 3 hours. And in both cases, it was a warning from God. Then we find that unusual example where Joshua was fighting a battle and he needed more time. And so God arranged for him to say to the sun in the sky, "Stand still for so many hours," and that'd give him more daylight, and he won the battle. Here we find the new Joshua, as it were, because Jesus means Joshua in Hebrew. He's, as it were, commanding not the sun to stay lit, but to become dark. Now, we're not told exactly how God did it. Did he move the moon? Did he put his hand in front of the sun? We don't know. But what we do know is this was a significant miracle that defies natural explanations. But why did God do this on Good Friday? What did it symbolize? What was God saying to the people? Well, for one thing, it was a fulfillment of a prophecy from the Old Testament. Amos 8:9, God said, "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight." And he goes on to say this would be a judgment upon the people. We find in the book of Revelation there'll be another time, and yet the future, God will send darkness over the whole earth. So God sent this darkness to say, this is, as it were, judgment day, not upon sinners, but upon the Savior of the sinners who's dying for them. This was a judgment day. You could say also that since this was Jesus, the beloved Son of God, bearing our sins, he was no longer treated as the beloved Son of God, but he was treated as if he was an enemy of God. And so God, as it were, turned out the light of his love on Jesus, who had never experienced the wrath of God, only the love of God. Now for these hours, he was experiencing the holy wrath of God. And so it was symbolized in God pulling, as it were, a curtain of darkness upon the earth. And as I explained the other night at our Bible study, it was like a curtain because for the next 3 hours when it was dark, something extremely serious was happening between God and Jesus, and it was so holy that God would not let anyone else see it or fully understand. It was just between the Father and the Son. Theologians have tried to explain it from the Bible, and they always come to the end of their understanding, and words are not adequate, and they say, only God knows fully what happened on that essence of Good Friday. In a way, it was like an eclipse. An eclipse happens when you have the earth, the moon, and the sun, and one comes between the other two. For example, if the moon comes between the sun and the earth, it becomes dark. You could say, on this day, Jesus, as it were, came between the wrath of God and us. How? By absorbing it himself, shielding us from it in this holy darkness and something else. Since Jesus was experiencing the wrath of God, yes, the wrath of God is real. The wrath of God will be poured out on lost sinners in hell. Jesus was experiencing hell on earth, and this darkness signified that. Jesus himself described hell as outer darkness. 2 Peter 2:4 says hell is a pit of darkness. So Jesus was experiencing the darkness of hell then. The light of God's love was absent. For example, when Jesus said, I thirst. The Bible says there's no water in hell. All this was signifying Jesus took our punishment when he took the wrath of God in our place. He took our hell for us. And then after those hours, when Jesus died, toward the end of Good Friday, the light began to come back. But the light really began to come back on Easter Sunday morning. The light was put out, as it were, on Friday, but now it shines again. A fulfillment of prophecy. Malachi 4:2 says, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And so he did. There is the first of the four unusual events. The second one we find in verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. In the temple in Jerusalem, there was a very tall veil or curtain that separated two rooms. God ordained this and describes it in Exodus 26. It was blue, purple, and scarlet, made out of linen. And it had emblazoned on there, it says here, an artistic design of angels. And this special curtain was hung on rings of gold on hooks of silver. Why? Verse 33 in that chapter says, the veil or the curtain will be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. In the innermost part of the temple, you had the holy place where the different priests would have the sacrifices every day. But then there'd be another curtain, and that would separate the most holy place, also called the Holy of Holies. Only one man could go through that curtain into that room, and he could only do it one day a year on the Day of Atonement called Yom Kippur. Now, on Good Friday, it wasn't the Day of Atonement, but it was the Passover. So on that day, the high priest and other priests would be in that area of the holy place, and they would see that curtain. They were there when God himself tore it in half. And they were astounded. Sacrilege. What caused this? What's the meaning? Who did it? How? They were horrified. We're told that it was torn from top to bottom beyond the reach of any man. It was higher than the ceiling of this church. And it was symbolizing God was tearing down something. But they didn't understand it, do we? But the Bible explains the spiritual significance. Hebrews 10:19-22 says, when this happened, access was now opened up between us and God, and says the tearing of that curtain was symbolic of the tearing of the flesh of Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, nails were put in his hands, a spear in his side, whipped in the back, nails in his feet. His flesh was torn open and bled. And the Bible says, that was the real curtain, and when that was opened up, now we have access to God. Ephesians 2:18 says, through him we have access to God and through Christ alone. Access in salvation, access in prayer and in fellowship with God. And now the way to heaven has been opened. This was symbolized with the curtain being opened, like the door being opened for us. It also signified the end of all those animal sacrifices. You could say the priests would be out of a job now. Their job was done. God was saying all those animal sacrifices were symbolizing the great sacrifice. And now that Jesus made that sacrifice out there on the cross, these other ones were no longer necessary. And so God abolished them totally, forever. Now the priests probably mended that curtain, put it back up, and they continued their sacrifices for about 40 years until God himself destroyed the temple, including the curtain. And so since 70 AD, the Jews have not had any animal sacrifices, and they're not necessary. But sinners are still erecting their own curtains and their sacrifices to somehow try to gain access to God. It's unnecessary. Jesus did it for us at the cross. That's the second unusual event. The third one is also there in verse 51. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now, as you know, there are earthquakes all around the world. Small, large. I've experienced two very small ones. My late father experienced a very large one down in Bogota, Colombia. The whole room in the building was shaken, about to collapse. Have you ever wondered what that's like? You say, oh, I'd like to be in one to see that and the lights swinging off. No, you wouldn't. Those that have been through a major earthquake say it's the most terrifying thing they've experienced. The whole earth shakes and they can hardly stand up. They fall on the ground. They're worried about the building falling on. They don't know how long it's going to last. They're terrified. And on this occasion, it says here, the earth quaked. There was an earthquake, not a normal one, but a very special one sent by God in the darkness. So just think about it. People are already afraid because of this unusual, eerie darkness, and now the earth begins to shake. If they were not scared before, they are now terrified. And it was so dramatic, we're told here that the rocks were split. Now, that's not the little pebbles on the ground, but just outside of Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified, there'd be these large cliffs made of solid rock. And when the earthquake shook, these rocks began to crack in half and pebbles fall off and big boulders fall. And so this was a dramatic, we don't know how long it lasted, but we know that God sent this. Now there were precedents again earlier. This is what God did when Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and God sent an earthquake and the whole mountain shook and there was lightning and thunder and rain and hail and fire. And this is what's happening here, these other unusual phenomena. There was an occasion where God told Elijah, go stand on a certain hill, and God sent wind so strong that the rocks began to break in half in the cliff. Book of Revelation says there's one yet to come. And the book of Hebrews says this, quoting the Old Testament, God says, no longer will I shake heaven, but I will shake earth and heaven. There's going to be a big cosmic shaking in the whole universe when Jesus comes. But why did God send this? To get their attention. Just like sometimes a parent has to do this for a child that's maybe misbehaving and trying to ignore the parent, and the mother says, Joey, did you do this? And Joey pretends, Joey? Finally, the mother goes over and turns Joey around, grabs him by the shoulder and shakes him a little bit. Joey, are you listening to me? You parents know what that's like, and those of us that are adults remember what that was like. They sometimes have to shake us to get our attention. That's why God sent this earthquake, to get the attention of the Jews and the Romans, so that they would say, what is happening? This is because of that man on the cross. God was getting their attention. God sent an earthquake in Acts 16 when Paul was in a Roman prison, sent an earthquake, and the jailer, a tough Roman soldier, he got the message and he says, what do I have to do to be saved? On this occasion, they should have said, God is judging us. God, how do we get forgiveness for our sins? And it says here, the rocks were split open. Bible says our hearts are hard like rocks. They're as hard as granite. They need to be shaken and broken open. Pray for God to do that in the hearts of your friends that are not Christians. They don't care about religion. Jesus Christ is just a curse word for them. Pray that God shake them and break their hearts open. You see, very few people come to Christ in good times. Usually, God sends an earthquake to them, like this time and other places in the Bible, to get their attention. Many of you can testify. When you became a Christian, it's because God, as it were, was shaking you and breaking your heart, and everything was going wrong. And instead of looking around, you looked up and said, God, help me, help me. And he did. And it says the earth shook like that. Isaiah 66:2 says, we need to tremble at God's word. Whenever we read it, we should, as it were, have an earthquake in our heart and say, this is God's holy word. Our fourth unusual event on that Good Friday is found in the next couple of verses. It says here, the earthquake, the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, that's dying, were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. It's only recorded in Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John do not record it. So when that earthquake happened when Jesus died, not only did some of the cliff rocks open up, but some of the nearby graves opened up. Now, that can happen in an earthquake, and it could also happen in a flood. So if you remember a great flood on the Mississippi back in the 90s, and a certain graveyard over in Missouri, it was so flooded that some of the caskets came floating up. That happened in New Orleans after the Katrina flood 11 years ago. Eerie. And so it says here, some of the graves were opened up with this earthquake, and God used that to open up the graves, some of them perhaps caves, some of them buried under 6 feet of dirt. And it says that not all the graves were open, just a few. And when they were opened, something even more unusual happened. The people in the graves came alive, climbed out of the graves. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, they went into Jerusalem and appeared to their friends and family. Now, the wording here has been interpreted by the scholars to mean that either they were raised on Friday and appeared on Sunday, or the graves were opened on Friday and they were raised on Sunday. But either way, it's the same thing. The graves were opened, people were raised and came out, and then they appeared to people that recognized them. They were seen, they were recognized. Just try to picture this in your mind. Everybody out there is already scared because of the darkness and all these other unusual events. And then as the darkness is going away and people are going home, they say, someone's walking down the street there. Maybe someone is at home. Maybe a woman's cooking a meal before the sun goes down and the Sabbath begins. Says, you know, that man's walking down the street just like my father used to. And then she says, it is my father. But he's been dead for 5 years. And someone else sees his mother or his wife or his little girl that had died come walking down the street right up to their house. Knocks on the door and opens it up. And what would you do if something like that happened? Someone you knew had died and you'd been at their bedside. You'd been at their funeral. You had touched their cold body. And now that person is alive again, maybe days or years afterwards. It would have been a mixture of terror, but also joy. How'd this happen? Why? It's good to see you again, but very unusual. Why did God do this? Just like those other three unusual events had spiritual significance, the significance of this is this. It says that these are saints. Now, that's not like Saint Joseph and Saint Mary. The Bible says all true Christians are saints. So these were ones that had believed in Jesus, either in the Old Testament period or during the ministry of Jesus. If you're a Christian, a true Christian, you are a saint. Saint simply means a holy one, one that's set aside to know God. The point is, this was, as it were, a foretaste of events to come. Because Jesus died and rose again on Easter Sunday, the Bible says we too, that are believers, will be raised again from the dead. So this was a foretaste of that which would come much later. It says that they were recognized by others. I've been asked, Pastor Daniel, are we going to know each other in heaven? Are we going to recognize each other when we get new bodies? And I think people are afraid maybe I won't be recognized. I think some of them are afraid they will be recognized. But the Bible says we will know each other and we will be reunited like on this occasion. And it will be, we will experience a holy fear and a holy joy like on this occasion. Why? Because Jesus died and rose again for us. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins and rose again. And the rest of that chapter goes on to say, because he rose, we will rise. And this is signifying that here. By the way, whatever happened to these men and women? We don't know how long they lived. They would later die. Their souls would go to heaven. Jonathan Edwards speculated that they didn't die, but when Jesus ascended to heaven, he took all these with him. Well, maybe, maybe not. But what's the response to the people on this occasion? Verse 54 says, after these unusual events happened and Jesus died, and before the men came and took the body down and go and buried it, it says that the Roman soldier that was in charge of the execution, he was a centurion. It says, when the centurion and those soldiers with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. These were tough Roman soldiers. They'd conquered the whole Mediterranean world, half of Europe, all the way over to Persia. They had seen battle. They had killed. They had narrowly escaped. These were men that were tough and strong. But on this occasion, they were as weak as water. I don't know about the rest of the people, but these soldiers, they got the message. When the earthquake, they were shook. And it doesn't just say they feared. It says they greatly feared. And they said, truly this was the Son of God. They were wondering, now what's going to happen to us? We murdered the Son of God. But they would have been close enough to hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that a number of those Roman soldiers believed and were saved there. The rest of the people were afraid. Most of them didn't see the significance. The episode concludes with, says here, many of the women that were there that had followed Jesus for these years, they went home weeping, and then they were, of course, the ones that showed up at the tomb on Easter morning. Perhaps in the crowd, people were praying or fainting. Maybe some of the priests out there were saying, we should pray. Almost certainly some of them said, this is an omen. Is this devil's work? No, this is God's judgment upon us. But most of them did not see the true significance because they did not repent and turn to Christ. But the centurion did. And he and the other soldiers never forgot what happened on that day for the rest of their life. I imagine they told others for years to come. Boy, boy, what we saw on that day we could never forget. But they knew the significance. And in just a few days, other Roman soldiers would feel an earthquake on Easter morning. But they didn't believe. How do we respond? If you had been there, how would you have responded? Well, you would have been afraid. Would you have grasped the significance? Would you have been like most of the Jews that were there that didn't really understand it? And they went home and said, well, Jesus has died. And of course, the enemies of Jesus were saying, well, that's that. That false prophet's out of the way. The disciples felt, it's all hopeless now. We thought he was the Messiah. Now he's dead. The women were overcome with grief. How would you have responded? I hope you would have responded like these Roman soldiers that saw the significance. They knew very little bit about the Jewish Bible, but they knew enough to believe Jesus was the Son of God. Listen closely. How you respond to what God says in His Word today tells you how you would have responded back then. Do you respond like the Romans, saying this was the Son of God? Or does this account just simply roll off your hard heart like water off a duck's back? May the Lord grant that His Word in the hand of the Holy Spirit go deep within our heart so that all of us would say, yes, that was the Son of God dying in my place. And that is what happened on Good Friday. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, you sent your Son to die on the cross, and you sent these other unusual events to signify that and to get their attention. Help all of us to see the significance and not to ignore it, but instead to believe in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.